100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Welcome back. It is hour number two. It is brought to you by Chris's Paving. ChrisPaving.com is the way to go online and see all of the many services Chris has for you. Concrete, asphalt, the works. I got a driveway that's cracked beyond belief, John Forcade. I need Chris to stop on by.
It's get like off your lazy butt and fix
what,
it.
Me?
What you need,
buddy? You want me to go do some concrete work?
You need some. All right, you know how to do it, huh?
No, I don't. That's why I'm calling Chris's Pavings.
Okay, well, there you go.
He does it for a living.
You trading it out?
Well, I don't know. I'd like to. But anyway, you can give us a buzz here on the Ruderman Can Hotline. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime in. Georgia and the rest of the crew here at Katie's taking care of you. We got Liz behind the bar, Mikey, Bryce, Alexis, and Katie as well, as all of them will take care of you. I love they're wearing the Tullamore Dew t-shirts today.
Notice that, Irish like that. Whiskey.
I'm assuming 1829 is when Tullamore Dew started. Is that what that is?
I hope it ain't the year Scott opened the shop.
Oh. Speaking of Chef Scott, he's out of town dealing with some personal business.
Yes, he is.
And we love you, Scott. Yes, we will see you soon, sir.
Yep.
And we will try to have not as much fun as we normally have with you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We have fun with
you. We do miss him, though.
Yeah, we do.
I like when he walks in here like the Tasmanian devil.
Right.
Very tornado-like.
Yeah, he's ready to kick somebody's butt.
He's got the
butt.
Phone. He's got the charger.
He throws his big drink down.
He does. It's
drink,
a very big drink. And it's either coffee or tea or something.
Well, it could be vodka because you don't smell vodka. He's kind of... I tend to believe he's drinking vodka.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I think he does. I think he's got a full bottle of it.
But he comes in here, and he does. And then he'll do this, do that, and boom, sit down, put on the headset, and be like, what are we talking about?
And yeah. Like, what's today's topic? Yeah.
But it's always good, because all I ever have to say is Saints.
And then he gets up
and
after.
And then he will look at you and be like, "What? Why do you hate him now?
Right. You just say the word Saints. And
that's it.
4K hates all of them.
He hates all of them.
He's negative. He's always negative. No,
so I want to hear from Saints
fans. Tell it like it is, Scotty.
Though on that, what do you make of this list? Again, it's just a writer, his opinion.
Right.
But we're just bringing that up because, look, at the end of the day, I mean, it is opinion and everybody's got one.
Go back to the guy when he said, I have no qualms about him, like, if he's going to write about, you know, Allen and the team and stuff. But when he doesn't even know, his facts are wrong because he's talking about Kubiak this, Kubiak that, when he was here and there. Kubiak wasn't calling plays. Kubiak was always a quarterback coach or, you know, a offensive assistant guy. Don't think he ever really had the title as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, great. His father was pretty good at what he did when he did it. Give this guy a shot. But you can't just start going off on a guy when you even know. Now, I agree with
he has some experience because he did call some with the Vikings a little bit. So,
he did, but not
and look, and Brian, a mile high out west, points out, and maybe he'll chime in and give us his take here on this as well. They were ranked 12th in total offense, 14th in points scored. But I think what the writer is saying is, look, it's an offense that's been around a while. You need some wrinkles and things of that nature. I hear you. My thing is, you at least are trying something different. And I'm
correct.
Not, look, again, his opinion, his point is that.
Right.
I'm kind of more looking at it from this perspective. While it's an opinion, I'm curious to how many people around the league view Dennis Allen as a... I mean, where's 24?
Well, if he was a 24-team league, he's in trouble.
Is top tier top 5 or top 10? What's top tier coaches to you?
The top tier coaches?
Yeah. If I said that person's a top tier NFL
five,
coach.
Five? Yeah, 1 through 5.
1 through 5. Yeah. Okay. So second tier is 5 through what?
Probably.
15?
15, yeah. Yeah.
That's a pretty big gap. I mean, so 10 coaches would be second tier.
Right. And I hate to tell you this.
In your middle tier is what, 15 25? He's only 32 teams.
Give or take. Yeah, you probably got four tiers in this group. Yeah, there's no doubt.
In four tiers are.
You probably could stretch it to like 1 through 6, maybe, right. 7 through 14.
I'm only bringing it up because.
I know what you're saying.
This particular writer, Pat Doherty, is viewing Dennis Allen as the.
He's in the bottom tier.
That is not a new head coach. Now, Raheem Morris has coached before, but he's talking about specifically
with
this team. And obviously, if you're coaching with the new team, it's a whole new addition to it. So I am curious on that in that it's I would rather people feel, well, 4K may not be, Dan Orlovsky. I know I said that on purpose.
I know
as
you
an
did.
Analyst.
I got you.
But you're not the worst. Analyst, you know what I'm saying?
Not Chase Daniels, right?
Chase Daniels is.
I don't want to hear you. Stop it. Shut up.
Why are you ripping him?
He's
giving the guy credit. But my point being, though, is I don't know if that's something that. Now, look, do coaches and executives care about where people view and rank others and all that stuff?
I think they do
to an extent.
Well, just because it first hits out, read something, they'll do it, but they know.
Because I'll say this, right? Let's say we're hiring somebody. And we go get a search firm.
Mm-hmm.
A search firm will probably do what?
Well, they bring you a list of coaches.
That are considered up and coming.
Oh, there's no doubt.
That are viewed favorably, right? I mean, a lot of that is that. If you say, Scott, I'm looking to do something at my tea shop that has to do with, the register or something of that nature, who do you recommend?
Right.
Scott's probably going to recommend somebody based off of what they feel, right?
Right. Well,
and that's what I'm saying when it comes to this. That's just the reality of where Saints football is right now.
That's
whether it's warranted, whether it's not,
I don't know
how many people view where the Saints are and his job as a head coach among the upper tier of his profession.
I still think that when you're doing that list that people talk about, they're not going on 1 year thing.
I agree.
I think they say, just from last year to this year. I think people are putting a little more into it, like Dennis Allen's career coaching head coach. That's a factor compared to, Mike McDaniels, compared to, McVay, compared to, LaFleur, compared to some of these guys, Taylor. I mean, it's the whole body of work, but they do understand, I'm just going to go off of what this 1 year is. Not last year, but now what are you going to be this year, how he ranks. I still think all these coaches, when they say that, they still look at what he's done in the past. And I think that's when people talk about Dennis Allen is his coaching record. Oh. And that's the drawback.
Record is what you say you are. You can't pick and choose when you say the record
correct.
Is not.
You are what
Andrew,
you say.
Thank you for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover on the Ruderman Can Hotline, 800-998-1003. How are you?
Pretty good, Gus. Figured I'd chime in here. I really called about the Pels, but I'll kind of echo what John said. There's no way they could be going off of just last year with these rankings. I mean, I agree Dennis Allen is in the bottom half of the league. It's coaching. Definitely not a big fan of him. But you can't put Sean McVay at number 2 when his team went, 11-6? You know what I mean? I mean, how are you going to put him as the second best coach? Even though he may, you have to judge off of prior years. You can't do that off of 1 year. But Dennis Allen is I don't even want to get onto that because I'm having a great day so far. But,
I hear you, man. It's a beautiful day. Let's get on with it a good day, man. Yeah. How can we help you?
Well, the thing with and you've touched on this, and I think, honestly, Gus, you've been on the money for months and months on this. But the thing with the Pels is really not complicated. I mean, we've had problems. We've had three big problems, in my opinion, over the last couple of years. And the number one problem was injury. And because of injury, we'd be like, well, you didn't really want to go to coaching, blaming coaching. The coaching should have done this or should have done that. And then the other big thing, which I've harped on, I even called the show 30 minutes before the end of the trade deadline, screaming that the Pels need a point guard. They need a point guard. They are extremely limited without a point guard. And now that injuries, I mean, I know B.I. just recently got hurt, but this has been one of their best years regarding injuries. Now that has kind of been taken off the table and most of the players, especially Zion, has been healthy, it's putting more of a magnifying glass on the coaching deficiencies of Willie Green. Now, I still like him. I'm not saying run him out of town, but I cannot think of a single logical reason to continue to take Jonas off the floor. JV needs to be on the floor, especially when you don't have a point guard. He's trying to play small ball. He's got some growing pains. I mean, I know Caden Good, I think it was yesterday, wants to blame Willie Green for at least 10 games, losing us 10 games. I don't know if I'd go that far, but I'm not too far behind him. I could think of at least 4 games, 6 games, maybe even 8 games that there's no reason we should have lost. And some of these substitutions and the way that the decisions Willie Green made does just not make sense. And even the prior person, and trust me, I'm an optimistic person. I mean, I appreciated Aaron and everything she's saying, and I think that's generally the attitude we need to have. But I'm not satisfied with them being at 6 and the way that they played. Are you kidding me? No, this is unacceptable. You don't come home and at a point in the season like this, make the coaching decisions that Willie Green has, and lose 4 or 5 games at home at this time of the season. No, I'm not excited about that. They're going to be in the – finally, Zion's healthy all season, and they're going to end up back in a playing tournament? No, that's not acceptable. Not with this roster. Not when you got NBA analysts like Stephen A. Smith knowing that this is one of the deepest teams in the NBA. This is not acceptable. This is not good. And whether and I'll stop at this point. Whether they made this decision at the trade deadline, you know what? We don't want to give up too much of our equity. We don't want to pay for a point guard right now. We'd rather wait for the offseason. Let's just run this out. Maybe I can get on board. I'm not even saying that that's what they were thinking. Maybe I can get on board with that. But now that injuries aren't an issue, Willie Green is the magnifying glass is starting to become apparent that this guy, his late game coaching decision and also the small ball stuff where he's taking JB off the floor makes zero sense. And they are, if they want to advance beyond this year to be like second, third round, even go to the finals, they have to get a point guard. That's the bottom line. And that's not complicated. That's it. Point guard, coaching decisions, injuries. That's their biggest issue. We can try to go in and diagnose and all the other branches of that tree, but that's where it all sprouts from. That's the trunk of the tree. We can get into, oh, they need to put their head down. Oh, they need to have fun. Yep. Oh, they need to throw a basketball in a trash can and go watch a movie. You can get into all of that, and there may be some wrinkles of truth to that. But that's just branches on the tree of those three issues.
No, look, I agree. It's 100% with you on one of the things I've been saying over the last couple of weeks is this is in the making. It's happening before your eyes. What works, what doesn't work, and what needs to happen one way, shape, or form. And I think it's multiple layers of, and I think it's the right word, blame. Because to your point, you cannot come down to the hardest and toughest stretch of the season. And yes, there is a level of excuse, or there is a level of understanding, let's use that word, where this team is different when you don't have your assist leader in Brandon Ingram. But did we come into the season thinking Brandon Ingram was going to be your assist leader? Is that a byproduct of what you just said, not having a point guard? The fact that the front office has, and we can argue about this later on, or we can do it now, right? You look at the draft picks that they have made, of first-round draft picks or second-round draft picks that are even not on the team, where it's Jackson Hayes, Alexander Walker, Kyra Lewis. When you have players that were picked, and I understand hindsight's 20/20, but there are players who are picked after them or could have been picked in front of them that are contributing on NBA rosters and things of that nature. And to your point, when you look at all of it together, I agree with you. I think it would be very disappointing, if not unacceptable, if you were sitting here and playing in a 9 or 10 hole when you could have made, a week ago you were in fourth, 1 week ago. And the main thing is what I'm going to play when we come back. I don't like it. I keep hearing players talking about lack of sense of urgency. How do you not know that by now? There is a Zion Williamson finger update. I will give you that when we come back to Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003 and absolutely gorgeous.
Yo,
day on Iberville here in Mid-City. Chef Scotty, we miss you, sir.
Yes, beautiful day, Scott. We understand why you're not here, my friend, but you got a great thing going here today.
It's great.
Good crowd and beautiful weather.
Yep, everybody taking care of everybody. Miss Liz back behind the bar, Georgia, here at the hostess stand when you walk on in. Mikey, Bryce, Alexis, and Katie. Get that? There's a Katie at Katie.
There's a Katie's at Katie.
Imagine that.
And there's a John at John.
Is there?
Yeah, John Forkey's here. They got a John right down there.
How was the tea shop?
Tea shop's doing really good, man. We've had some good days, and you know it's so strange. You know,
what are we going to do a show at the tea shop, man?
Let's do it next week.
Next week,
all right.
Pick a day.
I'll pick a day. What's right. Good for you?
Other than Tuesday and Thursday.
Well, that would have to be Wednesday. Monday.
Wait, okay.
Monday or Wednesday.
Monday or Wednesday.
you pick a day.
It work
because
it will be
yeah,
we got Fitness Friday. I would invite you, but now that you said you're going to do what you're going to do in the pool, we're good. Stay away.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hey,
it's not a swimming pool.
But you know how much business I'd bring there if we was...
No.
If I was
no business. Zero business.
You have a lot of business.
Anyway.
I'll be selling some, rod and reels they got? And
rod? Fly fishing?
Fly fishing.
Yeah. No. You know what? Let me play something.
I'll do it from
here.
The pool.
Stop it. So,
catch a tuna.
Everyone that's a Pels fan right now is curious about the finger.
What finger?
Zion Williams.
The middle finger?
I don't want to dive too deep into that question because I don't want to say anything that's not right, to be honest. I tweaked it a little bit. I'll have more information on it. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to get it looked at and go from there.
All right. Well,
when did this happen? When did he get hurt? Was it last 7 seconds?
No. He got hurt earlier in the game. He went for a block, hit it off the backboard, and it hurt him. He didn't play the final 7 minutes and 46 seconds on there as well. Now, what we have learned since then is this.
X-ray is negative. MRI, everything structurally was fine. Some soreness in his finger.
It's a sprain.
Contusion. I think that's what we're going
for day to day.
You think we're going to go tomorrow? We'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right, so day to day, we'll see.
We'll see what happens. Which hand?
It's the middle finger on his left hand when he went to go.
He's a left-handed shooter, correct?
Yes.
Right. So
now again, he is someone that primarily lays it in off the glass. He drives to the basket, but I guess whether it was precaution or what, he did not play the final 7 minutes and 46 seconds of the fourth quarter. Pels made a 22-8 run in that quarter and got the game closer and stuff. But, look, you need him right now. So
yeah, you need anything. You need them all. You need BI.
X-rays are negative. Everything's structurally fine. Just soreness in the finger. They're calling it a contusion. It's a bruise. A contusion's another word for a bruise in the medical terms.
It wasn't his finger, right?
That is the...
That's the finger. I was correct.
It was the finger, yes.
It's the finger. He hurt his finger.
He did.
Your number one finger.
It just stinks. I mean, yeah, it's like... Now, again...
He was playing well this year without the injuries.
Like the Brandon Ingram situation, could have been worse.
Yeah,
because I'm going to be honest with you, there was a little pit in my stomach this morning. I was just waiting for the press release PR. Zion Williamson has a fractured finger.
Well, because you heard Willie Green.
Well, I'll take day to day.
Yes.
And soreness
You can't go day to day because tomorrow's the day.
Well, I know. That's the problem. I was telling Liz when we walked in here, too, it's the same thing. It's like right now the Pelicans are playing every other day.
Right. It's not like you got a week in the NFL.
Until next Thursday, a week from today, when then they play a back to back against Sacramento and Golden State. On a Friday.
And then you got...
Then they fly home, I'm assuming the next morning.
Why?
On Saturday. Because the final game of the regular season is Sunday against the Lakers at 2:30.
Wow.
So...
Wow.
Like you would have liked to have
taken
care...
Wouldn't Aaron say the four... What were they going to do? 4-2? She said they're going to go 4-2 in the game? Man, I'd be happy to go 3-3. I'm thinking 2-4.
I'm being honest right now.
I think it's 2-4.
I'd like to see them win tomorrow.
Yeah, they have got.
I don't know.
Glad you brought that up. They have got to win tomorrow.
They had to win last night.
Well, I know, but this it's now you got to win. You got to beat San Antonio. You got
it's
to just win.
It's at that point, like we were talking about though earlier in the show, where everything just feels harder than it should be. You know what I'm talking about. And in football, one of the best analogies I can say is like, you know, when you're not getting first downs. And just everything just seems
three and
like,
out, three
right,
and, out, three
and everyone, and out. Me, you know, in the media, Scotty in the stands is going 4K. I mean, the guy's wide open across the middle, and it's just one of those things where like you get in and out of the huddle, and just I don't know whether things feel sped up or, you know, a guy misses a block that he normally doesn't, instead of hitting that slant with the right foot, planted to go left, he does it with the left foot, so it just throws you off a yard. So instead of the pass being shoulder pad height, it's a little lower or high. It's just little things when you struggle add up. Does that make sense? You've been in that situation, haven't you?
Yeah, you're pressuring yourself. And that's the issue. It's like,
holding on to the football just a little.
Yeah,
I
want to make sure this is the right. Next thing you know,
you got to get that first down.
Your mechanics are all wrong.
Gone 3.5 quarters and our first down.
Yeah, you just, you know, I mean, you know, I had trouble
people
with that.
People booing you?
Yeah.
No, but you know what I'm saying, though, right? I mean, like, that's a real thing, and I think that's how I feel when I'm watching this team right now, where everything is just, it feels like there was no reason. And at halftime in the game, you're trailing by 3.
Yeah, I was thoroughly got it back 58-55.
It felt like 30.
You know, when I put that bet on the second half. And
but you understand what I'm saying? Like, it felt.
Yeah, it did. It was like.
And it shouldn't. Why would it? You know, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Like, why would it feel worse?
Well, it's you know, it's crunch time, and their playoff run starts tomorrow. So it's got to start tomorrow.
I want to address something again. I'm not a coach. I am not an analytics expert.
But you slept by the Holiday Inn, didn't you?
But I did. Sleep in Metairie. So, here's the thing.
I'm just New Orleans. Is that roast beef sandwich?
Oh my gosh, that thing is massive. It's awesome.
Oh, you did get it.
I did get it. The Chef Scotty special. So it's got roast beef. It's got ham. It's got Swiss.
I got that. That's
and
good
it
one.
Is dressed.
Yeah.
here's again. I go back to sort of the inside thing, and. 800-998-1003 in the Ruderman Can hotline as well. So, the Orlando defense, hear what Willie Green had to say on why they're such a good defense, and they are. They are a very good defense. There's no doubt about it.
They're one of the best defenses in the league, and that's what they do. They do a great job of taking away your paint opportunities, and they close out extremely hard to your shooter. So they make you put the ball on the floor, and that's what they did tonight.
I got a question for you.
Yep.
Who are the top defensive teams in the league? Can you figure? You know more about it. You follow better than I do. Well, let me just say, I would bet you the top 5 defensive in the league play big ball. They got big centers, big guys in the middle.
The other thing, too, is
bet Denver's
if this is a team that comes out, and they close out very quickly to the 3-point arc, then you have to attack the paint.
Correct.
There's a player that would help you with that.
What did he get last night? 11.6 rebounds in 19 minutes. And he was over there with me watching the game.
Watching the game. Sports Hangover continues next.
I don't want to
when it's time for the March Mania brackets to bust wide open. As I was saying, it's mad. The Mania of March at BetUS.com is all about those buzzer beat bonus offers. And when the madness starts and Cinderella man steps under the BetUS always has your back with back-to-back-to-back 125% sign-up bonuses on your first 3 deposits and even 10% gambler's insurance. BetUS.com Sportsbook and Casino, where the game... Join today. BetUS Sportsbook and Casino, where the game begins.
Looking for a deal? Well, Golden Motors has the deals for you. The hottest SUV on the market is in stock and coming. The 2024 36 MPG Chevy Trax. Come see them at Golden, and you will be amazed at the room and comfort of this unique, eye-appealing, and affordable SUV. Golden Motors. Price is priority. Chevy together. Let's drive.
Gravely Mow the Distance sales event is back. Now through April 8th, you can save up to 25%, and special financing is available on America's most rugged mowers. That includes the Gravely ZTHD. It's the residential mower built to commercial standards with the power, durability, and high performance Gravely is known for. But hurry, these special mow-the-distance savings are only available through April 8th.
At all Neil's Small Engines locations.
Posted about us just now.
Celebrities can't get enough of Bianna's bespoke skincare line.
She has 147 million followers. How do we monetize?
She needs a social media associate to help her with the hype.
We should repost this. Do we need a hashtag?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
This is exactly that. It's frustrating, but, you know, this is a part of it. It's not going to be easy to go where we want to go, and this is a part of the NBA journey, is that we put ourselves in an unbelievably good position, but we have to run through the tape. And I think we got 6 games left. We got to put it together, and that's the deal for us. But it's definitely frustrating losing some of these games. I know we want to be better, and we will, but right now we got to regroup, keep our heads up, and continue to go after it. The season got 6 games left, so that's the deal for us.
That is head coach Willie Green, 800-998-1003 on the Rudiman Can hotline if you'd like to chime in on them. Also on your New Orleans Saints, Uncle Earl. Oh, boy. How are you, Uncle Earl? Where you at, dude? You there? I can't see any of you. Didn't you say you were coming by?
Hey, I'm trying to make it over there right now. Man, this weather, look, I just want a vodka drink. I want to open up my own topless bar, sports bar, freaking all the wings you can eat. We need 4K to put up the money and Scotty because they got the money. So I'm ready to do it.
Hey, well, I got something like that, but it ain't topless. It happens to be the Hooters, you know. Uncle Earl, what's up, Mr. Uncle Earl?
Hey.
Wow, let's hear it. What's up?
Tape after the damn 13th game of the year. Let me go back and look at the tape. I'm sick of this shit, man. Look.
I
think we lost Uncle Earl.
Or
Uncle Earl lost it.
Earl, just watch it. Watch the language. You got to be careful. We're on radio. It's live. We're not on serious radio.
Maybe he had a little too much vodka already. From Uncle Earl. One of the other things I wanted to play here as well for Pels fans. This was Zion after the game on a handful of topics here. Does he feel this team can kind of get out of the funk they're in right now?
Absolutely. Going to practice tomorrow and make sure energy is high. Make sure everybody, make sure nobody's tripping over what happened. Because like I say, you can't panic. There's no need to panic. We just have to have higher level of focus and take it one game at a time.
So, look, I asked you about this earlier today, too, about having confidence, having faith, being able to kind of feel that you can and do that. You need that from those players.
Right.
And look, he's taken a lot of criticism in his career, warranted or not, however you want to look at it, but he has. I've really been impressed this season by him starting the way he did, where he said he wasn't ready. And again, for whatever reason, having to get mature, maybe a talking to, whatever happened. But we were talking about it on the Pelicans podcast yesterday. From basically the start of March on, John, pretty much every single night has been Miami, where he had 4 points. Every other night, it's 20 or higher. Most are 30-point nights as of late. Double-digit free throws, all that. Guy's been playing. But more importantly than just the physical aspect, John, I like what I'm hearing. And what I mean by that is, at some point, you're a leader on your team in football. It's either a quarterback, it's DeMario David, whatever. Somebody's got to get ticked off.
Yeah, somebody.
Like somebody in that team, it's an affront to life to lose. You know what I'm saying? Like, nothing else matters sort of a thing. And you're starting to hear that from him a bit. Listen to what he says, what happened in the fourth.
Kind of going back to what I said kind of in the Boston game. Not only did they pick up their physicality, but they executed. We tried to match it, but offensively we didn't execute and run our stuff with force.
So run stuff with force, right? Like with a purpose. You said it a little bit later.
We got to attack the gaps. I don't think we're attacking the gaps with a purpose. I think we're going, but we're not doing it with a purpose. We call it 0.5 decision, and we just got to just do that a lot better.
John, using analogies when it comes to, like, football, is it sort of like running your route hard? You know what I'm saying? Or hitting the hole as a running back? Do you get what he's saying in that too? They're running the play, but there's a certain level of that next level, right? You run it a little bit differently for the top-tier teams do. In the postseason, the games that you really want to match up wits, it's just run a little more. Does that make sense? Do you understand what he's saying?
Execute the play a little harder. It's probably the best way to terminate what he's trying to say is just execution. Getting on your spots when you're supposed to be on your spots, picking when you got to pick, roll when you got to roll. Do things the right way. Don't lackadaisically do things and just don't take for granted that it's going to just be there for you, because the defense ain't just going to be in the spot where you wish they were at. And, you know, you gotta play it out. You gotta play everything you gotta play aggressive, hard on each and every set play they have, because, you know, basically when the flow of the game is going back and forth, you don't have time to slow it down. You see something, you go with something. The guys have all got to, like, and I like the fact that you said somebody's got to, you know, Zion or I don't know, Mac got to get in somebody's face and just, you know, like, I've never seen one guy like. I've seen it in football. Oh, you see it all the time in football.
Right.
You know, Mario Davis will get in the defensive lineman's face or vice versa with a DB or something. Quarterback will get the lineman. You got to get it here. You got
to
do it.
So this is what he was asked. This is his answer to what needs to happen the final six games that will go to Mitchell.
Like I said, we have to have a higher level of focus. We just do. Spoke on it a lot throughout the year. But at a certain point, I just can't keep speaking on it. We got to make it happen. If we want to be one of those contenders, we got to get wins. Even in tough games like this, we got to figure out how to get a win.
Again, if I'm a Pels fan, I love hearing that from him. That's what I've been wanting to hear. Been craving that, and it has to happen organically, John. Because it doesn't sound like words.
Right.
I mean, it sounds like he really wants to, and he's being ticked off by it. But who is he talking about then, John?
Right. That's
my thing. Yeah. Who is he talking about that needs to have the higher level sense of focus? Because then it comes down to what I said earlier. It's the construction of this team. Then there are players on this team that don't need to be on this roster then if they can't up their game one way, shape, or form. To that level. I'm not saying, hey, make a shot. Shots go in and out. You get beat off the dribble, you get beat off the dribble. A guy hits a contested shot, he hits a contested shot. It's what he's saying, though. It's like, man, we got to match this energy. We have got to play this level.
Right.
And we're not.
Yeah, it's you got to play. You know, I've always told my guys, look, man, you got to play 61 minutes of football. Why? It's a 60-minute game. Right. But if you're playing 61 minutes, then it just means you're giving me everything you got for an extra minute. You got to give me everything you have out here for a little time you're on the court.
Before we go to the phone call, listen to Coach.
It boils down to the same thing that's been happening in the last few games is trying to put together a 48-minute game or in the 40s will give us a better chance to win. And we had that one quarter where, you know, we couldn't score and they scored 33 points.
John, my initial reaction to that is, well, that's because they're a young team, inexperienced team. But, John, Orlando is.
Yeah.
OKC is.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I get Boston. But there are teams that are younger than the Pels that are executing. There are teams that have less playoff appearances and stuff than the Pels do that are doing it. So that's what I'm confused about. Mitchell, thank you for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover and the Ruderman Can Hotline, 800-998-1003. How are you?
Okay. Look, I agree with you. Some of the blame goes on Willie as the coach. I think he's reached his apex here with the team. You know, I don't like the non-rebounding. I don't like play selection. I don't like Hawkins not playing, first-round draft pick. But some of the focus has to be placed upon David Griffin for failure to adequately supplement this, the team in areas of need. We need a point guard. We need a more athletic center. And he did nothing at the trade deadline. That's what my comment.
I'm 100% behind what you're saying there. I've always said that your GM has got to work with the head coach by giving him the players, giving him the chess pieces to do the things.
Crossroads, 3-0. Yeah, I'm, Griffin has his talent evaluation. I don't know if he's totally responsible for it, but it's a complete failure. You know, we got two players, first-round draft picks on other teams, and Trey Murphy, I don't know what to say about him now, you know. We should have made a move at the deadline. There was a possibility that where we are right now, somebody would get hurt.
Yeah.
And he, you know, we could have, just like Dallas got Daniel Gafford, why didn't he move?
Mitchell, I'll say this after the game last night, too. I was just talking with somebody about this in particular. You've seen just this week on this homestand two teams that for a couple of years have been perennially bad, picking at the top, Orlando,
right.
OKC. They got rid of talent, stockpiled draft picks, got lucky or made a draft pick that was the number one player overall, just like the Pelicans. Chet Holmgren,
right.
Paolo Banchero. And built around them, younger players, got a coach that got him to do that. The difference between OKC and Orlando, which I don't think I'm being disrespectful, I think they're better teams.
Yeah.
If they are, then it's because of the roster construction.
It's the roster.
Look, here's the thing, Mitchell, is to your point. It isn't a multi-layer disappointment to this extent. Jackson Hayes was a top 10 pick.
Right.
Nickeil Alexander-Walker was a top, 15 pick. Kyra Lewis was a first-round pick. Now, again, I understand, you know, hindsight is 20/20. You and I can sit there and be like, you could have got Lamar Jackson. You could have got J.R. Alexander instead of Marcus Davenport that same. So we can always do that. But the point being is if you're going to do complete rebuild like you did and you were gifted the opportunity to start from scratch with Zion, you got Zion. The other young pieces that should be growing up and being there for you didn't mature. I mean, didn't materialize. Didn't hit. It failed. Right. And let's be honest. Herb Jones was a diamond in the rough, magical under the rock unicorn. Fine.
You're gonna find guys.
No
like that.
One in the world thought that Herb Jones was going to be a first-team All-Pro defensive player that now hits three-pointers in the second round. So, you know, but to the point is, I mean, that's the thing. I'm looking around at those teams. They got guys, man. They got length. They got size. They got all those things. And to your point, you're still trying to figure out what your identity is. And that's where the Pels are right now. And that's why it's going to be an interesting offseason.
And look, in the same draft that Kyra Lewis was taken, Tyrese Maxey and Emmanuel Quigley, who are contributors, were taken. Yeah, look at how they're producing. I mean, this is front office stuff. That's unacceptable. And we have two draft picks this year. Can we trust David Griffin to make prudent decisions this year?
I hear you, man. Thank you for the phone call, Mitchell. Appreciate it. Jeff Boggs from our sister station, KNAE, is next on ESPN New Orleans.
This is Greeny with Mike Greenberg.
We love Brandon, our stage manager, but he is a person who is very fond of calling everything by its technical name. And so he comes over to me, like, frantically. Greeny, the Wheatstone isn't working. And I said, what the hell is the Wheatstone? 35 years, no one has ever used the word Wheatstone in a conversation to me. So as I look at it now, the Wheatstone is the little box that I plug into, and it just says Wheatstone on it. I guess that's a brand. But that would be like calling Vaseline petroleum jelly. I don't know how I'm supposed to react back to that because I have no earthly idea what he's talking about. He's the same one, Brandon, who you may remember. I was having a computer problem. He said, I'll call MEO. What the hell is MEO? No one even knows what that means.
Including him?
When I asked him, what does MEO stand for? He said, well, I don't know. That's who I call when something breaks. So can we get MEO on the Wheatstone over here, please?
Greeny with Mike Greenberg. Weekday mornings at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can watch and listen on the ESPN app. Gravely Mow the Distance sales event is back. Now through April 8th, you can save up to 25%, and special financing is available on America's most rugged mowers. That includes the Gravely ZTHD. It's the residential mower built to commercial standards with the power, durability, and high performance Gravely is known for. But hurry, these special Mow the Distance savings are only available through April 8th.
At all Neil's Small Engines locations.
We are the soldiers of the Louisiana Army National Guard. We are your neighbors. We are your sons and daughters. While we serve part-time, we are learning valuable life and job skills. We are earning money for college, for trade and technical schools, and for certification. We are proud to serve both our country and our home state. We are your Louisiana Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. The exclusive sports book of ESPN has it all, including exclusive offers and promotions from Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith. There is no better time to be a sports fan. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles.
Six miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark. We're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003. John Forkin, Gus Kattengill with you. We miss Chef Scotty.
Out of town, a little personal business. Chef, we miss you, bud. Do you miss Chef Scotty?
Oh, yeah. I miss putting him in his place.
No, I know. He left us a poster card we have to read.
Oh, we got to read
that going in and out of every break that we miss him.
Yeah, we actually left. Tell everybody we miss him.
No, we have a script. We have to follow the script.
Follow the script.
Jeff Boggs from our sister station, KNAE. Sir, how are you this afternoon?
Cubs are on a 4-game winning streak. How can I be anything but good?
I love that. That makes me happy.
Got another Cubs
fan
on the
phone? Absolutely,
in?
Yes. I keep trying to tell you.
I'm my Reds, baby. My Reds. Got to go with my Reds.
Nobody cares about the Reds. The only thing that I worry about right now is scoreboard watching, Jeff Boggs. So let's get to it because the Pels hopefully get it turned around. In the meantime, I got to root for other teams. Let's start tonight. First game on TNT in New York. Knicks got some bad news as Julius Randle is having season-ending shoulder surgery, so he's out rest of the year. They've been struggling. They host the Sacramento Kings, both teams with 44 wins, but more importantly, we need New York to win. How do you see this one, sir?
Absolutely. The Knicks have lost 3 straight games, unusual for them, including a 109-99 loss to Miami Tuesday. Sacramento coming off back-to-back wins over the Jazz and Clippers to wrap up a 5-game homestand. The Knicks 5th place in the Eastern Conference, Kings in 8th place. Obviously, a lot on the line for Sacramento. Sacramento, 3.5-point dog in this game. Knicks favorite at home. Over-under, 213.5. Money line, Sacramento plus 130, Knicks minus 150. One of the reasons Knicks may be able to cover, New York will be happy to be home after playing 3 of its last 4 games on the road. Kings have not won 3 straight games since February 14th through the 25th. They've gone just 11-8 since then during an inconsistent stretch. Knicks only have 1 4-game losing streak this season, with their last 3 losses coming by a combined 15 points. A couple of reasons why the Kings might be able to cover. Sacramento did bounce back from consecutive losses to Dallas last week with a 127-106 win over Utah on Sunday. Covering the spread as a 13-point favorite. Keegan Murray had 25 points. Harrison Barnes and De'Aaron Fox both finished with 24. Of course, Kevin Huerter, a shoulder, might be out for the game. Malik Monk, a knee, both, in fact, out for Sacramento, not even questionable. So, again, those might give the Kings an opportunity to advance tonight.
Well, the graph just told me we want the Kings to win tonight because, John, the game you want to ask him about, that is the game that we want the Western Conference team to lose.
The Western Conference team, yeah. You need to definitely have the Mavs, you know, lose, but I don't know about it playing at home, the Mavs against the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, absolutely. Dallas going to try to bounce back from their rare losses these days when they host Atlanta. Dallas had its seven-game winning streak snapped in a 104-100 loss to Golden State the other night. Mavs a half game ahead of Phoenix and New Orleans for fifth place, which is the reason why we're hoping to see the Mavs fall. Again, Sacramento just one game back. Atlanta's won six of its last seven games, including 121-113 over Detroit the other night. A couple of reasons the Mavs might be able to cover. Dallas back home after a rare loss, fell again to Golden State. Star point guard Luke Doncic had 30 points, 12 boards, 11 assists, and a triple-double, while veteran guard Kyrie Irving chipped in 27 points, 10 of 19 shooting, and won seven straight games and 11 of the previous 12 games prior to that loss. Mavericks are a big 11.5-point favorite to win to against the spread, but again, don't need that much to win the game outright. Over-under, 227.5, and the money definitely moving toward the Mavericks. Money line minus 800, Atlanta plus 500. But don't despair. One of the reasons the Hawks may be able to cover and maybe get an outright win, they have won six of its last seven games as they look to improve its playoff status. And again, the Hawks have already clinched a spot in the play-in tournament. They moved into a tie with Chicago for ninth in the standings the other night. They had three players score 24 points plus in that game. Dallas a bit shorthanded. Derek Lively, the second, out with a knee, and Josh Green with an ankle out. So, again, may bode well for the Hawks.
Speaking with Jeff Boggs from our sister station, KANE. Little ESPN bets action here as well, Jeff. Those are two games there. The final one I want to take a look at is the Clippers. I just saw a post where, I guess it was this morning, shoot around or something, Paul George didn't want to answer how to get James Harden out of a slump. He says, I'm not the coach. Next question. So I don't know how things are going over there in Los Angeles, but that's another game we're keeping an eye on here. Nuggets at the Clippers. That is the back end of the back-to-back on TNT.
Yeah, Clippers 47-28, fourth in the Western. Denver Nuggets 53-23, second in the West. Denver a 3.5-point favorite. And again, the over-under 221.5. Money line pretty tight on this one, a little tighter, I should say. Minus 165 for Denver, plus 140 for the Clippers. Again, home underdogs are the Clippers tonight. And Jamal Murray is listed as questionable for tonight against the Nuggets. And what you may want to know about the Clippers, after a string of three wins, Clippers' good fortune did run out Tuesday. Matchup between them and the Kings, not even close, really. 109-95, L.A. committed 15 turnovers. Now they've been beaten in seven of its last 13 games and 3-10 against the spread over that stretch. Clippers heading into this one without Kawhi Leonard, who's out with an injury to his knee on the year. Leonard has averaged 23.7 points, 16 steals on 52.5% shooting. And some of the other trends you may want to consider, Clippers 5-11 against the spread in their last 16 games, when not the favorite. 9-14-1 are the Nuggets against the spread in their last 24 games when the spread was between minus 5, minus 2, which it is. The Nuggets 11-17-1 against the spread in their last 29 games when favored on the road. So throw that all into the equation and see what you come up with.
Okay. If I want to look at not only other NBA games, a lot of MLB action here, including not only our Cubbies, but other John's Reds. How can I get involved in ESPN Bet, sir?
You bet. They're ready to take you through the spring. It's the combination of all, the culmination of the NHL and NBA end of season and the playoffs, baseball, college baseball, Final Four in both the women and men's this weekend. So much going on, all at ESPN Bet. Also including exclusive offers, promotions from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith. Again, golf, the Masters coming up, other opportunities there. No better time to be a sports fan. Sign up today, and when you do, new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. It is quite the play. Terms and conditions apply. Check out the app for details. And remember, as always, got to be 21 or older. And if you do have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles. Yes, you guys have a good day.
Sounds good, man. We will see you tomorrow. Jeff Boggs, from sister station KANE. I will. You know what? Let's do this right here. Ready? Marlins at the Cardinals, 3:15 p.m. today. Mr. Forcade, St. Louis 3-4 on the year. The Marlins have yet to get a win.
Oh, I already bet this one.
How nice would it be?
I took the Cardinals today. I took the Royals.
How
and I
courteous?
Took
how you know? Because like when you have people over to your house, you're courteous. You know, you're thoughtful. Yep. How about the Cardinals give the Marlins their first win of the season? How about that? That way I can tell Chef Scotty what a nice team you guys have right there.
I don't think you want Scotty to drive off the road right now telling them that. I thought the Marlins would be a little more competitive from, you know, this, I mean, being a week into the 2 weeks into the season.
Yeah.
Man, they surprised me.
Well, they made some moves in the front office.
They did. But I mean, they were a decent team last year,
right.
You know, the Marlins. They were competitive, won some series, won some games. Did some thing for a second day. We thought they might sneak into the playoffs, but well, it's just pretty bad right now. But how about Pittsburgh in our division? Where'd they come from?
They started out hot last year.
Did they?
Remember?
Yeah. So did Milwaukee.
It's a long season.
Yep.
But believe me, if the Marlins going to win tonight, Chef Scotty's going to know.
Oh, he'll know.
I'll be scoreboard watching while I have to.
I got the Cardinals, man. I need to win. Got to
go draft my team today.
Oh, that's right. You are. You drafting them?
We're drafting. 7 and 8 year olds. Got to go draft.
All the kids are there. Just the coaches.
Well, no. It's just the coaches. We're going to the room. All the names are on the board and all that stuff.
How many kids are you going to have in your roster? How many kids are you?
I don't know.
You don't know? How many kids y'all got so far out there?
All I know is the turnout was such. Whoever's running the program said that he thought it was going to be 4. It's going to be 6 teams.
6 teams?
6 teams.
Whoa.
A lot of kids.
That's more games.
But that's good. That's good. Good. Kids want to go there. I don't know anyone other than my son and like his friend Owen. Other than that, I mean.
Well, let me ask you. Yeah. Are you drafting your son?
I have to pick my son, yes. Could you imagine, Carver? I just want you to know, man, you got like a 3 out of 10. I mean, you're not very good.
What happens if you don't pick first? Somebody picks ahead of you and picks your son.
No, I think the way it works is if you coach and your son, I mean, he's right. On your team.
He's on
so I cannot not pick him.
Right. Well, not just that, because it's kind of hard.
It's kind of like I inherited him.
Driving to practice. Yeah. All right, we'll see you after practice, son. Yeah. Where you going, Dad? I'm coaching over here.
My team's over there.
Yeah, and he's following you like wherever you go. No,
it's about championships,
Carver.
Son. You'll understand one day. I couldn't.
Might as well learn now.
I couldn't do that because at the end of the day, if he's not that good, then it's up to me. It comes down on me. It comes down to coaching.
Put it this way.
It comes down to coaching.
If he's not that good, he's playing right field.
Oh, look, man, at that age group right now, they're all right fielders.
You better make sure you got one that can catch on first.
I was going to tell you, I'm being serious. Like, right now, that level, because he's 7, right?
7.
And you do have the 8-year-olds, you can tell. There's a big difference.
So but your team's all 7-year-olds?
I'm just hoping it's 7 and 8-year-olds.
7 and 8.
But I'm at the point where when they're warming up, I'm hoping, because he already got popped in the mouth last week.
Yep.
So I'm like, can you have to catch the ball or it's going to hit you in the face.
He still ain't catching yet.
We're not anywhere near learning how to do baseball things. I just want him to have his teeth at the end of practice.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's where we are right now.
Ooh.
I got a lot of coaching to do. Hour 3.
Give him big catches, Mitch.
I may go get him a first baseman. Jeez, a piece.
Do they have baskets?
Well, the problem is he won't squeeze the glove. Hour 3 next on ESPN New Orleans.